Hey everybody, how you doing? Hope you're well today. Putin came out with his annual State of the Nation address in the last 24 hours, and it goes for 2 and a bit hours. I watched the entire thing, so you don't have to, and I'll give you the key takeaways. But let's have a little listen to what he's got to say about NATO. And this is at the very front end of his speech.
It is necessary to strengthen our military groups in the Western strategic direction to neutralize threats associated with the next expansion of NATO to the east, the inclusion of Sweden and Finland in the alliance. They are talking about the possibility of sending NATO military contingents to Ukraine. But we remember the fate of those who once sent their contingents to our country. But now the consequences for possible interventionists will be much more tragic. We also have weapons. They know about this, as I just said. We also have weapons that can hit targets in their territory. And they should understand that what they are doing now, trying to scare the whole world, it does risk a conflict with nuclear weapons, which means the destruction of civilization. Don't they understand this, or what?
All right, so the key takeaways from this entire speech that he goes through is, one of the biggest ones for me was, he said that Russia is now spending 13% of its GDP on defense. Now, that just gives you some idea of how this war of attrition is actually going. This is an industrial scale war where Ukraine is a hugely industrial sized nation, and obviously Russia is as well. And the scale of what they're doing is just absolutely enormous. So when I compare that to the GDP of Australia and the Australian Defence Forces spending, it is minuscule compared to what's going on there. And it's a window into the future. If we ever end up in a shooting war with China, the scale and the ramping up of what the Australian industry will have to do to cover off the defense spending will just be astronomical. It's not like anything that we've ever had to do or endure before. The only thing that I could think of that would be similar in Western society is when the American economy had to gear up for World War II, and they were pumping out planes and tanks and ships from factories all over, and it was happening at a high rate of knots. Here in Australia, we don't have the industrial base or the industrial capacity to do that because we don't really build anything. We build a few vehicles here in Australia, like military army type vehicles, but the shipbuilding capacity that we have is just non-existent. If it was, we would have more warships, but we don't. And we certainly can't make aeroplanes or helicopters. All of that stuff is imported from the United States. We might be able to make some fancy drones, and that's something that we should be scaling up for. If you're thinking about getting into the defense contracting space, that's where the money is, in the drone space. It's a very, very lucrative business, and that is the future of warfare anyway. We can see that Russia has said that they're going to put more troops on their western flank in response to Finland and Sweden joining NATO. And for some reason, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why NATO had ruled out right at the very start putting troops into Ukraine. And I'm not saying that that would have been a good idea or not, but they came out right at the very start and said, no, we're not going to do it. So essentially what NATO did was telegraph exactly what was going to happen. And then what that did is gave Putin the upper hand. So today we see him making veiled threats about nuclear war. If you put troops into Ukraine, then that might end in catastrophe and nuclear war. And if you listen very carefully to what he's saying, is he's saying that we, the Russian people, have suffered greatly, but you in NATO are going to suffer more. And the crowd gives him a round of applause for saying that, because they don't want to suffer, and they want the Europeans to suffer as a result of NATO putting troops in there. And that's why he's making these veiled threats. He continues to make these veiled threats of nuclear war and using nuclear weapons, and so does Dmitry Medvedev. He keeps doing it every other week. It's Nuclear War Wednesday. He comes out and says that they're going to launch nukes and they don't cross the red line. This is what's going to happen. And they're consistently doing that. And what they're doing, if you pull back the curtain and you look behind the rhetoric of what those Russian guys are saying, what they're saying is, we're going to use nukes and this is going to deter you from putting troops into Ukraine. So right at the very start, the NATO commanders, the politicians, and everybody that's in charge came out and said, we're not going to put troops in there. And Putin then immediately had the upper hand by saying, if you do put troops in there, now we're going to use nukes. So straight away, it's deterring us. And just two days ago, Emmanuel Macron came out and said, we're not ruling out putting troops into Ukraine. Well, as a NATO alliance, as individual countries, as some sort of coalition of the willing, what is it? What's the story with both the Polish president and the Polish prime minister being summoned to Washington to sit with Joe Biden? What's going on there? That says to me that the Ukrainians are about to get the F-16s, and they're going to be launched from, they're going to be launched from Poland, in which case there's going to be attacks directly on Poland. Now, we're also hearing wind that Emmanuel Macron is going to give the Mirage 2000s that he's got, the surplus ones that are coming back from Africa, they'll come back to France. The pilots will go over to Poland. They'll be given Ukrainian citizenship, and the war's on. So do we need to go and train Ukrainian pilots on the Mirage 2000? Maybe not. What if we just give these French guys a bunch of Ukrainian citizenships and they can go and do the attacking for us? This is where we're escalating to. This is where this is going. But are we ever going to put troops into Ukraine and make that happen? The answer for me is a big fat yes. I think Poland is making ready everything to go into the western part of Ukraine, and they'll go and take over the support, the command and control, which will free up the Ukrainian troops to go and fight on the front line. The Ukrainians are running out of men. They don't have any more men to send to the front, and there's a whole bunch in the rear in logistics positions that can be moved forward to the front. And that seems to me the most likely scenario. But in the event that that actually happens, that means that Ukraine or NATO troops are going into Ukraine, in which case Russia is now going to strike those NATO bases. And then if there's an attack on a NATO base from Russian weapon systems, is that going to trigger Article 5? Well, who knows? Nobody actually knows. The only time that Article 5 has ever been triggered is when 9/11 happened. That's why there was troops in Denmark, from Denmark in Afghanistan. That's why there was troops from Estonia in Afghanistan. And when you think about it, that's an Article 5 thing. So why is Estonia in Afghanistan? Well, the reason that they went to Afghanistan is because of Article 5. Because if Russia ever invades Estonia, then they're fighting alongside with the British, and the British will work with the Estonians to protect them from the Russians. And by the way, there's a whole bunch of British soldiers sitting in Estonia right now. So this Article 5 is a very real thing, but how likely is it to be triggered if Poland are attacked, if Romania are attacked? I would suggest to you that it is very, very likely. Remember, folks, that this nuclear apocalypse that Vladimir Putin is threatening doesn't come at the start of World War III. It comes at the end of World War III. These Russians are determined not to lose. And if you look back at the rhetoric of what they say and you read between the lines of everything that they say that a world without Russia, there'll be no world. And they threaten nuclear annihilation of everybody and everything. So there's a capacity there for a first strike thing to happen. Over the next couple of days, I'm going to pull a book off the bookshelf that I've got behind me here called War Scare. It's written by the late Dr. Peter Pry, and he used to work for the CIA, and he worked in this nuclear proliferation space for the CIA. And the book is called War Scare, and it details and outlines how very close we came to nuclear war. And it gives you the stories from the Russian side. And there's a great story on the front end of that book, and I'll go into some more detail later, but I'll just give you the top line view of it here. Essentially, what he was saying was there was a huge exercise in 1984, I think it was, from memory. Don't quote me there, I'll have to double check the source in the book. It was in 1984 where NATO was moving all of their troops in for an exercise. They had these medium range missiles that were going to be deployed, and the Russians on the other side of it saw everything that was happening as an exercise, as cover for them to actually launch a first strike against Moscow. And the Russians were on literally on a hair trigger, and it was just literally a day or two longer, if the exercise went on longer, that they would have launched a first strike against NATO. So we've seen this many, many times, and this is a very scary proposition. And right now, Steadfast Defender is happening in Europe, which is the biggest NATO exercise in history, more than 100,000 troops. There is no declaration of war. This is just a cover. Everything that we see is a cover for NATO moving into Poland. There's a whole lot of things happening with Transnistria, and there's also a whole lot of things happening over in Kaliningrad as well. So the chances of an escalation and a miscalculation are growing exponentially. So what should we do? What should we think about this veiled threat from Putin? Is it a real thing? Are nuclear weapons really on the table? Well, yes, they are. They've always been on the table. And what the Russians are doing is continuing to deter NATO by using that rhetoric. Because at the very start of this conflict, all of the NATO commanders and politicians said, no troops ever on the ground there. But we know that there's already troops on the ground. We know that there's Americans on the ground. There's footage of Zelensky one afternoon coming out to a press conference looking like death warmed up and something really bad had happened. And it turned out there'd been a strike on a NATO command facility in Ukraine and it had killed 400 people. That's a well-documented case. And there was NATO commanders on the ground there as military advisors. How is Ukraine managing to shoot down 10 Russian aircraft in 10 days? How is that happening? Intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance assets are giving them the targeting information when these Russian aircraft are launching and where they're going. The Russians must be using corridors to get in and to drop their weapons because they're targeting the eastern part of Ukraine and they're getting in and out in these locations where they know that there's no air defense, and all of a sudden the air defense pops up there and they're getting plinked off the battlefield. So this is happening through ISR, through NATO aircraft, and through NATO eyes in the sky satellite facilities. NATO is deeply involved in this conflict already. The Russians know it. And what they're saying is don't go one more step. Don't put any more troops there. Don't put troops in there with rifles and send them to the front, because we will use nuclear weapons and it will escalate. And once the F-16s come online, if they're not already online, they'll be launching from these NATO countries. And the Russians have said, if you do that, we're going to strike you there. This thing is escalating, and it's going to escalate really fast in the next couple of weeks, because Ukraine is running out of troops and it's running out of ammunition. So in my mind, the veiled threat that Putin is making with nuclear weapons, again, by the way, is true, and it's a warning that should be heeded. When he talks about at the front of his speech about all the super duper fancy hypersonic weapon systems that they have, I wouldn't pay too much credit to that. That's all rhetoric and that's all BS. When you look at the Kinzhal missile, you see the Kinzhal launched from a MiG-31 Foxhound, and they probably only have half a dozen of those planes. It goes up to 60,000 feet, drops down from the plane, and it fires up into the atmosphere. So when it comes down, we now know it comes down in a ballistic trajectory. And the Patriot missile system is designed to engage ballistic missiles. So this Kinzhal missile isn't really a hypersonic missile at all. And people in defense circles know it's not hypersonic. In fact, there's no such thing as hypersonic. It's nonsense. There's either subsonic or supersonic. Just because it goes 5 times faster than the speed of sound, it doesn't mean it's hypersonic. It's just supersonic. It's going Mach 5. But it's only going Mach 5 because it's going up in a ballistic trajectory and coming back down. And it's coming back down at Mach 9, but it's still being engaged by the Patriot system. There's plenty of Ukrainian footage out there showing us the blown up Kinzhal missiles. This Dagger missile is not all the fanciness that everybody is making it out to be. And for somebody to sit on a YouTube channel and state that this thing is the wonder weapon of the future and it can't be engaged by air defense systems has never ever sat at a radar console and never operated a surface-to-air missile system. Do not believe people like Scott Ritter. Do not believe so-called CIA agents that tell you that these Dagger missiles can't be intercepted. It's complete nonsense and it's a lie. And in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to be pulling out videos of these people lying to you. There's no possible way that any so-called military analyst could tell you if these systems are being engaged or not, because they're not sitting at the console and they have no idea about what they're talking about. What I can tell you for absolute certainty is the Patriot system was designed to intercept ballistic missiles. And the only thing that could really get past that is a hypersonic glide vehicle where it's dodging and moving on the way in, which makes it very, very hard for it to engage. But as it's coming through the atmosphere, it can be tracked. We can see it. We can see exactly what's going on with it. And if we can track it, we can kill it. So it just depends on what type of re-entry vehicle is coming at us. But the Kinzhal missile is not coming at you as a glide vehicle like that. It's not the shape of that. It's the shape of a regular missile coming in. And in fact, if you look at it closely, it looks like a ballistic missile. And that's exactly what it is. So Putin and his rhetoric about all these wonder weapons, just ignore that. It's all nonsense. The avant-garde missile that you can fire, it's nuclear powered and it can stay in the air for an infinite amount of time and fly around the earth as many times as it wants and strike wherever it wants. It's complete nonsense. It's total rubbish. We haven't seen that. It's not proven, and they're using rhetoric and the fear of rhetoric to put out there and say it's just not true. Putin even contradicted the Western media in his speech by saying that the Western media was coming out and saying that they had nukes that they were going to put in space. And he said that that was complete nonsense. So this is just rhetoric from our side trying to pump him up and making him look like he's 10 foot tall. But we know with absolute certainty now, he's not 10 foot tall and his military is not as powerful as you think. But the nuclear threat is still there. And remember, every NATO exercise that's been conducted for the last 50 years, when we play the Russians and follow their doctrine, it ends in a nuclear strike and we lose because they simply have more nuclear weapons than us. So this is a very, very dangerous time in history and we're fast approaching the crescendo of what's going on. It's like the roller coaster going tick, 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 right to the top, and it's going to go over the top and then just go whoosh. And once it goes down the other side, it's going to be unstoppable. And the pace and the scale of this is going to be like nothing we've seen before in modern warfare. All right, so should we worry about Putin's threat? Yeah, I think we should, but it's just a way for them to deter us. If we put troops on the ground, I wonder if that's going to trigger a first strike. I can tell you from the Dr. Peter Pry book that I'm going to share with you in the next couple of days that we've come very, very close indeed to nuclear war many, many times before. There's a whole entire book full of stories when that's happened, and this happening and unfolding in front of us right now in real time. All right, that wraps it up for this video. Thanks for watching. See you in the next one. Bye for now.